Excellent. Okay. So we're going to start on Dalet Amud Aleph. Dalet Amud Aleph, 6 lines down from the top. Gufa. Gufa. So the Gemara is like this. Gufa. Boira bibi barabai. So the Gemara, now whenever you see a Gufa, of course, now the Gemara is going to go ahead and quote the case that the Gemara already dealt with. The Gemara already dealt with. That the Gemara already dealt with on the previous staff. So Gufa. Boira bibi barabai. So Rabbi Barabai dealt with the following shayla. Hidvik pas batanur. So we'll say fine situation. A person goes ahead. You saw this already on the previous daf. So in the times of the Gemara, the way they would go ahead and make bread is that they would take the truth. You could do this. You can still see this in Eretz Yisrael today. That if you ever go like one of these Eretz Bereishit or one of these recreations of biblical times, so you could actually make your own bread there. So the way they did it is they took a dough and you stuck it to the side of the oven. Stuck it to the side of the oven, and that's how ultimately it would bake. So the Gemara deals the following shayla. Hidvik pas batanur. So let's say a person went ahead and stuck dough on the oven. This is on Shabbos. On Shabbos. And then a person realizes what they have done, although we'll clarify the details of the case in just a little bit. So midoraisa, a person would be in violation of bishul. Now, interestingly enough, we know that you're not chayi for melachos on Shabbos until it becomes what's called melachas machshevas, until ultimately it becomes a constructive melacha. The definition of constructive melacha means that some type of targeted significant purpose actually materializes. So, for example, when you take dough and you stick it on the wall of the oven, you're not chayav for bishul at that moment. When do you become chayav for bishul? At the moment that it becomes bread. We're going to get into that in terms of at what point in time is dough considered baked, is food considered cooked. But let's assume for a moment that when the outside of the dough becomes crusted. So let's say a person goes ahead, sticks the dough on, and then they realize what they've done, although we'll clarify this in just a moment. The shayla now is, can they take the dough off the wall of the oven? Now, what's the shayla? Midrabanan, you are not permitted to remove dough. That means, so for example, let's say, let me give you a different illustration of this. If let's say I stuck dough to the wall of the oven before Shabbos. Now, you're not supposed to do that for reasons we'll talk about later on, because in general cooking, food is supposed to be at least reach some threshold of edibility. That's a word, of edibility prior to Shabbos. So let's say I realize what I did before Shabbos. I'm not allowed to remove that dough from the wall of the oven on Shabbos. Why? 2 reasons. Either A, because both are midrabanan. Either A, because we're concerned that if we allow you to go ahead and take the dough off the wall of the oven on Shabbos, you may come to actually the chatchila bake dough on Shabbos. Or perhaps a simpler reason is what the Gemara also says, uvda d'chol. We'll discuss uvda d'chol in great depth. But uvda d'chol is a whole category of prohibited activities that perhaps are in and of themselves not usher, but because they resemble weekday activities, Chazal legislated that you can't go ahead and do them. So now here's the interesting shayla. So we'll call him Reuven. Reuven stuck his dough to the wall of the oven. And then he realizes what he did. So now he wants to remove the dough when? He wants to remove the dough before the dough becomes baked. So if he leaves the dough there, then what? What's going to happen? He's going to violate a doraisa. So the shayla now is he permitted to go ahead and remove the dough? Now removing the dough is what? Is a derabanan. So can he actively violate an issa derabanan in order to go ahead and save himself from violating the issa doraisa? Just know, this happens to be a fascinating shayla in general about violation of lesser isurim to save oneself from greater isurim. So the truth is, we saw this a little bit at the end of Brachos, right, where the Mishnah spoke about the concept of Boaz, right, of Eis La'asov La'Shemei Faru Sora Secha. So we've seen that there is some type of halachic precedent for, we'll call it, the commission of a minor infraction, or the treading on perhaps more minor restrictions in order to allow for the greater safeguarding of Torah. But, okay, so that's our shayla over here. I'm sorry? Because he's gonna be chay midoraisa for bishul, right? Once it bakes off, he's gonna be turned as chay for bishul.
Even if you keep it on till it burns.
Yeah, the fact that it won't become edible doesn't make a difference. At the end of the day, if you took a raw dough and you allowed it to be, and you caused it to become baked, halacha l'asiyah chay for bishul, or more appropriately, afia, you're chay for baking. But again, we use the words afia and bishul interchangeably. Okay, so that's the shayla rabosai. So hidvik pas batanur. Did the rabbis allow? So we'll say the real, the mechanistic, the halachically mechanistic, the mechanical shayla is, that do Chazal set aside their own din, that under normal circumstances would not allow you to remove the dough from the wall of the oven, in order to ultimately allow you to remove it and save yourself from an Isser Da'oraisa, or no? Or do we say, look, you put the dough there, we're sorry you're going to be chai, you're going to violate an Isser Da'oraisa, but at the end of the day, Chazal's law stands, and you can't remove the dough from the wall of the oven. So Amar Lei Rav Acha bar Abaye Ravina. So Rav Acha bar Abaye said to Ravina like this, one second. Hey Chidomi, what exactly is the case? If we're talking about a shogeg case, now what does it mean a shogeg case? Now if we're talking about that Reuven literally has no idea. Reuven didn't realize that there was anything wrong when he went ahead and he placed the dough on the wall. Reuven didn't realize that he's done anything wrong until now. So if you're talking about a case where Reuven has no idea what's happening, so then there's not really a shaila. Why? Because if he has no idea what's happening, he's not going to be asking for the heter to remove the dough from the wall as well. So that's what it means. Ilayim b'shoge, if you're talking about a real shoge here, so the person literally is clueless about what they have done, and still, even after sticking the dough on the oven, they still don't know what they've done. Lo itkarle, they don't know what, lo itkarle means they don't recognize what they've done. Leman hitiru. To whom will you be giving the heter? Right? No one's asking for the heter. Why? Why? Because Reuven has no idea what he did. Okay, so therefore we have to rule out full shogeg. The elalav di hadav itka. So the case must be what? Where Reuven went ahead, made a mistake, stuck the dough on the oven, thinking that it was mutter, and then after he placed the dough there, then what? Now he realizes that what he did was wrong. So the Gemara says, look at Rashi, ve'ela de'hadra ve'itker, kodem afia. So he sticks the dough on the wall, and now before the dough actually becomes baked off, he realizes what he did. So I said, one second, in that type of situation, mi mechayiv, would somebody really be chayiv? Rashi points out, chatos ba'afiyoso. Would a person be chayiv, a chatos, under those circumstances? Now why not? V'hatznan, we learned, kol chayvi chatos, einon chayovin ad she'etehe tchilasan shgaga, v'sofon shgaga. So you will say, here's what's interesting. That haloch lemaisa, the only time a person is chayiv a chatos is when this shogeg during the entire time. It's the shogeg at the commission of the act, and a shogeg when the act itself is completed. Now, also remember, when we talk about a carbon chatos is the punishment for accidental violation of Shabbos. If you intentionally violate Shabbos, that's a chiyuv skila, right? But if you unintentionally violate Shabbos, it's a chiyuv chatos. So the Gemara says, in order to be chayiv chatos, it has to be shogeg. You have to really be accidental throughout the entire time. So therefore, the Gemara is saying over here is, if the way you want to frame the case is that Reuven was a shogeg when he put the dough on the oven, attached it to the oven, and then before it became baked off, he realized what he did, says the Gemara, he's not chayiv chatos in that case anyway. Is that chayiv karban? Because if you realize what you did before it actually got done, you're not chayiv chatos. So what the Gemara is therefore saying is, then what would be the logic of allowing him to take the dough off the oven? Meaning the whole svar we were assuming is, why would we allow Reuven to go take the dough off the oven? To save himself from a chayiv chatos.
I'm sorry?
I'm trying to save
him the cost of the cow or the isser.
Well, the truth is, we're assuming they're one and the same. Right, that by definition, chiyuv chatos means that you've violated an iser.
So he feels bad now that he left the dough. Right,
so that's the halamina. The halamina is that we're trying to save from a chatos. What the Gemara is saying is, well, he's not going to have to bring a chatos anyway. So you're saying, good, at the end of the day, fine, if you don't have to bring a chatos, but he still knows that he violated an iser, so the halamina would be to say, well, if you don't have to bring a chatos, then I guess that means you didn't really violate an iser. Although it's a little circular, but we're gonna flesh it out right now. Ella b'mezid. So rather, it must be what? It must be a case of mezid. So we must be talking about a case over here where what? Where Reuven placed the dough on the oven b'mezid. He purposely put it there. And so then what happens? After he places it b'mezid, he has a change of heart. He has a change of heart, and he decides, you know what? I want to be about tshuva. I don't want to be such an avarion. I don't need fresh pita. I'll just take something out of the freezer. And he has a change of heart. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry?
I don't want to get stoned.
And I'd rather not get stoned, not today. Right? So the Gemara says, Ela b'mezid kodim shiyavu lidei iser skila mibayilei. So one second, then we have to change the wording. Because again, when Rabbi Abaye asked the question, the way he asked the question was what? That if you put the dough on the oven, if you attached it to the oven, Are you permitted to remove it? Kodem sheyavol lidei chatos. Right? Rabbi was not talking about a chatos case. If he's talking about a mazid case, then what he should have said was, would you be permitted to go ahead and remove the dough before you chayiv skila? Amar Rav Shila, therefore Rav Shila says, the olam b'shoge. You're right. In reality, it's a shoge case. Ulaman hitiru, and who did they allow to remove the oven, to remove the dough from the oven? La'achirim, to others. So look at Rashi just a moment, I will say. La'achirim. Achar shira ubala fanenu lisha'a lirdosa kodim shiava chadero lidechiyev chatos. It's interestingly enough, Rav Shila wants to reframe the case, and this is actually very fascinating. The case would be, Reuven put the dough on the oven, and what happened? Shimon and Levi saw him do it. Now, Reuven left, or just Shimon, we have to bring in Levi. Shimon saw him do it, now Reuven's gone. Shimon now wants to know what? If I just leave the dough there, then what's going to happen? Right? Reuven's chayv chatos. So Shimon says, you know what? I want to remove the dough. True, me removing the dough is what? It's a drabonon. But I would like to be able to violate an isa drabonon in order to save Reuven from violating a daraisa. Michai v'chatos. Okay. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Mas kevar Rav Sheshes. V'chi omrim lo la'odom chatei. Kadei sheyizka chavecha. Do we ever say to someone, sure, you go ahead and sin in order that your friend will benefit? Look at Rashi. V'chi omrim lo la'odom. Tzei v'chatei iser kal. Kadei sheyizkai chavecha onesh chomer. So Rav said, the Gemara is saying is, we don't say such a concept like this. Right? We never espouse such an approach that we tell someone to go, you go ahead and violate something, even a minor infraction, so that you could save someone else from violating something more major. Where do we ever see such a concept like that? The truth is, we do see concepts like that, but those are the exceptions and not the rule. The rule is that we never tell someone to violate a minor infraction to save someone else from going ahead and violating a more major infraction. So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rav Ashi, the Olam B'mezid. So Rav Ashi is right. Therefore, the only way to understand the case is a mezid case, where Reuven B'mezid put the dough on the oven and now has a change of heart. And the Gemara says, Ve'ima kodim shiyavo lide iser skila. And the Gemara says, you're right, you have to change the wording of Rav Bibi Bar Abaye's question. The Gemara has it recorded wrong over here. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye didn't say, what is the halacha concerning removing the bread before you come to a chi of chatos? Rather, what did Rav Bibi Bar Abaye say? What is the law of removing the bread prior to what? Becoming chiv chayiv skila. So the Gemara says, Rav Acha Reid Rava Masin La Behedra. And Rav Acha Reid Rava, when he went ahead and he taught this halacha, he said it explicitly. Amar Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. So this was his version of Rav Bibi Bar Abaye's statement. Amar Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, Hidvik Pas Batanur. Hitiro Lerdosa called him Sheyavo Lide Iser Skila. Oh! So see, Rav Osai, you know, sometimes when the Gemara does this, it sounds like the Gemara is just trying to kind of, you know, fit in its answer by changing the words. Here what the Gemara says, Rav Acha Brei Derava literally had this version of the exchange. In Rav Acha Brei Derava's Braisa, the way he had Rav Bibi Bar Abaye's question recorded was, if Reuven went ahead and stuck the dough in the oven b'mezid, is he permitted to remove it before he comes to a chiyuv skila? Okay. So I will say, so, fine. So the case, therefore, is a mezid case. Is a mezid case, right? Because again, remember, and we kind of come to that just de facto, because it can't be shogeg, because if it's shogeg, then Reuven's never going to know what to do. So the only way to make it a shogeg case would be that it's a third party asking, can they remove Reuven's dough? That's not possible, because we never say, therefore the only option that's left is that it's a mezid case. This is Reuven being an Avarion, then deciding he doesn't like Davis, he doesn't want to get Skila today. So the Shaila is now, can he take it off? Can he take it off?
We said there were Edom and Asron, but there were two Edom there anyway, and they warned him.
Well, that would be the case of Skila, correct. That would be the case. They only come to a case of Skila if you have Edos there. Right. Correct.
You shouldn't take out Midoraisa. At this point, I would give Midoraisa, because otherwise, why wouldn't he violate Midorabana to save himself from Skila?
Well, so no. The shaila is, are we permitted to go ahead and look? At the end of the day, let's be honest. He's not going to get skila, right? He's not really going to get skila. Why isn't he going to get skila? Because if a person has a change of heart, if Reuven says, I regret this, I regret this act, then that's not a chiyuv skila. In order to be chayiv misa, you have to be omed bemerdo mitchila va'ad sofa. So Tosfos actually brings this down, that once he has a change of heart, he's not getting skila. The shaila now is, could he save himself from the Isra del Raisa? Now, by the way, I'll point out, the Rambam Haskins in this case, that halacha l'maisa, we would permit Ruvain to go ahead and take the dough. Because as much as you can't violate the chiyuv d'rabbanan to save me from a del Raisa, I can violate the d'rabbanan to save myself from a del Raisa. So halacha l'maisa, we would permit Ruvain to go ahead and remove the dough under these circumstances. Correct. Tosa seems to say it's not even really explicitly, it's just kind of understood that Chazal would never want their gzeros to create an impediment for you saving yourself from an Isidar Isa.
Don't eat the bread.
Don't eat the bread. Hell, you're very practical. Mom is very practical. Yes. Yes, you can't eat the bread. No, that's true.
No, it's not
this
bread.
I'm sorry?
It's not bread. Because if it were bread, then the rice would be on. So don't eat the dough.
Right, don't eat the par baked dough, right? Right, correct. Chocolate. Don't eat the par baked dough. Yeah.
Chocolate chip cookies.
Okay. Right. I'm sorry. I'm losing control of you. I'm sorry. All right. Pasha da ani es yeto. But you know, the truth is, look, it's 10 o'clock, where's anybody going? If you're here already, Pasha da ani es yeto. All right, so now the Mishnah is going to go and go through each of the cases one by one. So case number one in the Mishnah was the Ani is standing in Rishus HaRabim. And what does the Ani do? Pashat Ani Yasidol Lifnim, V'nasan L'soch Yadol Shabal HaBayis. So these first two cases are really one and the same. The Ani is going ahead, well, let's focus on the first one. The Ani goes ahead and extends his hand into the Rishus HaYochid, where the Bala Bayis is, V'nasan L'soch Yado, and let's say places his basket, Ani has a basket, he's coming for food, places his basket into the hands of the Bala Bayis. Into the Bala Bayis. So remember, this is one of the cases of Chayiv. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Amai Chayiv, but why should the Ani be Chayiv? V'haba inan akira v'hanocha me'al-gabi makom dalet al-dalet v'leko. So Rabosai, the normal assumption is that halocha l'maisa, remember, we spoke about already on Friday that in order to be chayiv hotzah, you have to do akira and hanocha. You have to uproot the item and you have to place the item down at rest. Now, the Gemara assumed that in order for a makom to be chashuv for akira and hanocha, it must be a makom of at least dalit by dalit, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, because a makom that's less than that is not considered to be a real makom. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, any akira or hanacha that takes place from there is not considered to be a real akira v'hanacha. Now, where does the Gemara get this from? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, "Me'agai makom dalit, dehavi chashuv, lemehavi hanachasa hanacha, v'akira sa akira." Because apparently, in order for an akira or hanacha to be chashuv, it has to take place, or it has to be done in an area that in and of itself has a chashivus. Right? So what's the smallest amount of chashuv area? Dalit al dalit, v'yado lav makom dalit hu, v'katani lamasnisin bein la'akira bein la'anacha, diktani, v'nasa l'soch yadosha balabai, z'hari nechasa shanato b'socha ha'akira. So here's the Gemara. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Why should the Ani chayiv in that case of the Mishnah? Because what is the Ani doing? The Ani is taking the basket from the Rishus HaRabim, extending it into the Rishus HaRabim. Remember, like we said before, extending it in is not enough. You need what? You need Hanacha. So where is the Hanacha taking place? Into the hands of the Balabas. But the Balabas' hand is not a makam dalet al dalet. If that's the case, then it should not be a halachically problematic Hanacha, and therefore the Ani should not be chayiv. Through which the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba Hamani Rabbi Akiva." Oh, you know who this is? This is Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? "Da Amar Lo Baniner Makom Arba Arba." Okay, Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold like that, right? Rabbi Akiva holds that you could have an akira and a hanocha even on a makom that's less than dalet al dalet, and you're still chayiv. This now, where do we see this? They will say this is a fascinating case. This man Hazorik Mirushus Hayochel Rishus Hayochid Urushus Rabin Beemtas. Listen to this. Let's say you throw something from one Rishus Hayochid to another Rishus HaYachid, but the item travels through a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Mechayiv, Rabbi Akiva says you're Chayiv for Otzah, the Chachamim Pochim, the Chachamim say you're Potter. Why? Rabbi Akiva holds that your Chayiv says, Arminon Kluto Kimisha Hun Chadamya. It was a very important phrase. Kluto Kalut literally means what? Absorbed. Absorbed, like an ear miklat. Right, when you go to an ir miklat, we call it a city of refuge, but it really means an absorption city. right? And absorb it because it absorbs. It absorbs anyone who comes into it. So Rabbi Kiva holds kluta kamisha huncha, that when something goes through the airspace of a particular rishus, it's as if what? It has come to rest in that rishus. Therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, when, let's say, that projectile that you threw goes from rishus hayochid to rishus harabim to rishus hayochid, that is considered as if that item has come to rest within the rishus harabim, and therefore has been uprooted again and gone out.
Was that considered too?
Oh, we're going to get to that. Good. But Rabbanan Savri, lo amrina kluta kamishu nechadamia. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, don't say this, right? The Rabbanan, on the other hand, say that, no, we don't say, unless the item comes to rest in the Rishus, we do not say as if it had a hanocha in it. Just take a look at the last Rashi. Kluta, hacheves. This is the position of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that the item is absorbed in the Rishus, hoil, viniklat ba'avira shoshus harabim, kamishu huncha besochu va'afagavdalo nach. So Rabbi Akiva essentially says, when you enter into the airspace, when an item enters in, or an object enters into the airspace of a rishus, it's as if what? It's come to rest in that rishus.
Okay. So presupposes that Rabbi Akiva believes that there's the airspace of rishus harabim is infinite.
Oh, no, no, no. Hold on to it. We're gonna clarify that in just a moment. Matt, is that what you're gonna say? Good. We're gonna get to airspace in just a moment. So the Gemara says the following: the Meimra. The pshita lei l'rabba, the bekluta kamisha huncha damya, ubesoch asora pligi. Ah, so 1 second. So now says the Gemara, well, that must mean that according to Rabba, right now, so Rabba wants to suggest that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva, and that's why when the ani places the basket into the hands of the balabas, the ani is going to be chayiv, even though the balabas's hand is not what. That's what, not a makom dalet al dalet, right? Because the Mishnah must reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that you don't need a makom dalet al dalet. All you need is what? Airspace. Once you're in the airspace, so the Gemara says, well, 1 second. So now, in order for Rabbah to say that, that must mean that Rabbah takes it for granted that number one, kluta kamishoncha, that number one, that halacha lemaisa, when something is in the airspace of a particular rishos, that it's as if it's at rest in that rishos, and furthermore, ubesoch asara pligi, that also presupposes that Rabbah understands that machlokis Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanon is a machlokis when the item was traveling within 10 tefachim of the ground. Because Rabbah said, there's one thing we know for sure, which is that the airspace of rishos harabim only goes up to 10 tefachim. Right? There's not unlimited airspace. Take a look at the first Rashi. Ubesoch yud, the ilu lemalom yud, lav avi rishos harabim. Because above 10 tefachim is not the airspace of rishos harabim. Ela avir makom ptur. Rather, everyone agrees that, well, we'll see, nothing's everyone, but for right now, everyone agrees that the airspace of rishos harabim does not extend above 10 tefachim. Va'afilu kluta leka. And therefore, for example, if you were to, let's say, lob an object from rishos hayochid to rishos hayochid through rishos harabim, and it were to travel above 10 tefachim of rishos harabim, everyone would agree that what? That you have not been in violation of anything. Because even Rabbi Akiva, who holds kluta kamisha huncha, that's only if it travels within the airspace of that rishus. But above 10 tefachim, you're not going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says, well, 1 second, yes.
Well, what's the Gemara's question? If his hand is not dalet al dalet, right, then it's not a rishus.
Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold it.
Forget Rabbi Akiva for a second. Right, go without Rabbi Akiva.
Let me come out, you better go show him there.
It's not a rishus, therefore it's like he's putting it into the rishus hayachid itself.
No, because the whole chap of... 1 second. In order, let's go like this. Before we get to this Gemara, we assume that in order to be chayiv for akir and hanacha, you need to be okirit from a makom chashiv, and you need to be maniachit in a makom chashiv. We've assumed the definition of a makum chashiv is dalet al dalet. Says Rabba, well, the Mishnah clearly doesn't say that, because the Ari is chayiv even when he puts in the hand of the balabayas. So now the shaila is, who is the one who holds that you don't need hanacha in a chashiv makum?
But if the hand is not a makum at all, because it's not dalet al dalet.
Good.
Right. Then let us just assume that when I put it in his hand, I actually was putting it into that.
No, I say just the opposite. Maybe that's called putting it on a makom ptur. Just like if I throw it above 10 tefachim of the avir rishus harabim, that's a makom ptur. Maybe the hand of the balabas is a makom ptur. You're saying good. You're saying, well, by definition, even if it's not a chashav makom, the balabas is standing in a rishus hayachid. So let it just be. No, but that's the whole chat. Maybe that's not true. Maybe at the end of the day, that's like lemalam yud in avir rishus harabim. So we're not forgetting Rabbi Akiva. No, because you can't play it both ways. Meaning, to say kluta kamisha huncha means that any entrance into another rishus is like hanocha in that rishus. You can't say, and therefore everything is like dalit al dalit.
Right, it's either on the ground.
No, because what Rabbi Akiva is clearly doing is Rabbi Akiva is lessening the criteria. Rabbi Akiva saying is, you don't need to. No, because Hanacha Anamakam Dalal al Dalal means. Hanacha Anamakam Dalal al Dalal. That's what it means. If you're going to tell me that going through, then it just means you're trying to fit a square. What is it? Square peg into a round hole. Right? Meaning, you're trying to align the shittos when Rabbi Akiva is clearly saying something different. Rabbi Akiva's Dafka saying, I don't need it to rest like this, I need it to go through. If he's okay with going through, it means it's not this. Using my props, I'm like Netanyahu at the UN. All right, so now, so the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says the following. So now we'll say. So now, in order for Rabbah to say that the Mishnah follows Rabbi Akiva, that presupposes that Rabbah feels that the svara of Rabbi Akiva is A, kluta kamisha hun chadamya. That's number one, and B, that the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon must be within Yud. Must be within Yud. Because above Yud, everyone would agree that it's potter. But the Gemara says, but here's the interesting part. But Rabbah himself was not clear on the machlokis Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon. Because Rabbah asked the following question. Lemata miyud pligi? Now Rabbah himself is trying to understand the machlokis Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon. Do they argue when the object is traveling? Now remember, the same case of you're standing in Rosh Hashayachid and you're throwing it from your Rosh Hashayachid through the Rosh Hashayachid and it's going to land in the next Rosh Hashayachid. So Rabbah says, what? So Rabbi Kiva says, Chayiv. Rabbanan say, Potter. So Rabbah says, well, what are they arguing about? Are they arguing about Lamata Miyut Pligi? Are they arguing when the projectile travels with intense Fakim of the ground of Rosh Hashayachid? Ubaha pligi, and this is their machlokis. The Rabbi Akiva savar kluta kamishon chadamya. Rabbi Akiva holds that when an item goes through an airspace, it's as if it came to rest in that rishus. The Rabbanon savri larmin kluta kamishon chadamya, and the Rabbanon say that we don't say kluta kamishon chadamya. Avalamala miyud devrakol potter. But if the object flies at above 10 tefachim, everybody agrees that what your potter utikuli alma lo yafinan zorik mimoshit. And everyone agrees that you don't learn out throwing from handing. Now we'll say, what does that mean? This is fascinating. Look at Rashi. Zorik mimoshit. Listen to this. Ve'ilu bimoshit mirushus ha-yachid rushus ha-yachid derchus ha-rabim afilu miyud kaimalon. So we'll say, here's the interesting distinction. If you are handing something from one rushus ha-yachid to another rushus ha-yachid, and it goes over a rushus ha-rabim, everyone agrees that you're chayiv for that, even if what? Even if the item passes over the Rishus HaRabim at a greater height than 10 Tefachim. Now, where do we get that from? So Rashi says, the Kamalon Parak HaZorik, the Chayiv, the Yolif Ma'agolos Shal Midbar, Shemoshitin Asakrashim Mizulazu, Vehein Rishus HaYochin, Ubeinehem Rishus HaRabim, Velo Hayu Zorkin Oson Shalo Yiskalkulu. We'll say, here's the news. Where do we learn this out from? We learn this out from, remember, the Levium had wagons, right? And what do they carry on the wagons? So they carried the boards for the Mishkan. So when they had to assemble the Mishkan, what would they do? They would hand it from one wagon to the next. Now, the wagons themselves constitute a Rosh Hashayachid, a private domain, for reasons we'll discuss later on. And when they handed them one to the other, they had to pass over a Rosh Hashayachid. And yet, it was what? It was the Malam Miyut. It was higher than that, because if you think about it, if you're standing on top of the wagon and you're handing boards from one wagon to the next, that's the Malam Miyud. And yet we know they could not do that on Shabbos. So what that shows us is that what Rabbi is suggesting over here is that handing is different than throwing. Because when it comes to handing, when you hand an item from one Rosh Hashayachid to another Rosh Hashayachid, but there's a Rosh Hashayachid in the middle, even if what? Even if what? You're handing it at a height greater than 10 tefachim and above, you are still chayiv. So Rabba now is struggling to understand the machlokes, Rabbi Kivin the Rabbanan. Aren't Rabbi Kivin the Rabbanan arguing about the principle of pluta kamisha huncha? Are they arguing about when a projectile passes through the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabban within 10 tefachim? So they're arguing about when an item passes through, is it as if it came to rest or not? But everyone agrees that if it's above yud, then what? Then you're potter. And they're clearly not learning out throwing from handing. Right? That handing has a handing an item from one Rosh Hashanah, another Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah in the middle, has one set of halachos, and throwing has a different one. O Dilma, or the other possibility, says Rabbi, is O Dilma, Lamalam Yud Pligi. Maybe Rabbi Kivin and Rabbanan are arguing in a case of what? Lamalam Yud, right? Where ultimately they're handing, the object is being thrown through the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin at a height greater than Yud. And this machlokus Rabbi Kivin Rabbanon. The Rabbi Akiva Savar Yalfinan Zorek Mimoshit. Rabbi Akiva holds out that we learn out the case of throwing from the case of handing. And what does that mean, Rabbi Osayim? That just like by handing, you're chayiv. If what? If it's l'malam yud, right? Higher than 10 tefachim. So to what? By throwing, you should also be chayiv l'malam yud. V'Rabbanon Savri Lo Yalfinan Zorek Mimoshit. And the Rabbanon, on the other hand, say, no, we don't learn out Zorek from Moshit. But if it's below yud, divrei hakol chayiv. Everyone would agree that you're chayiv. Why? My taima. Aminon kluta kemishahun chadamyo. Because everyone agrees that when an item passes through rishos, ultimately it's as if it's at rest. So Rabbi Osai, so the Gemara, now you see, just to follow the flow. So the Gemara says, you see that Rabbah himself is not sure what the position of Rabbi Akiva is. So how can you say that Rabbah says that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva holds kluta kumisha unchadamya, which means that you don't need an hanacha on a makom dalit al dalit, when Rabbah himself is not even sure, Rabbah has the kasha, what Rabbi Akiva's position is. To which the Gemara says, to which, halo kasha, it's not a kasha, why? Basar di'ibayi hadar ifshitalei. Because after they had the question, they then resolved it. The Sava Rabbi Akiva Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya. That Rabbi Akiva's position, Rabbi Osai, is what? Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya. And therefore Rabbi Akiva does not need a Hanacha on a Choshev Makom of Dalit al Dalit. According to Rabbi Akiva, as long as you pass through a particular Rishus, it's as if you came to rest. And therefore, if the Ani places the basket in the Balabai's hand, even though the Balabai's hand is not a Makom Dalit al Dalit, nevertheless, it is a valid Hanacha, and therefore the Ani will be Chayiv. No, so this conclusion tells us that the truth is we actually don't care about any of that other stuff. What the machlokas Rabbi Kivin the Rabbanan was about lamalam yud pachas yud zorik moshit. The truth is, right now we're not worried about that. What right now we're worried about is that Rabbi Akiva does in fact hold of the concept of kluta kamisha hun chadamya. That's all we need for now, because once I have kluta kamisha hun chadamya, that tells me what? That I don't need hanacha on a makom dalit al dalit. And if I don't need a makom hanacha on a makom dalit al dalit, that tells me why the ani is chayiv when he places the basket in the balabas's hand. Balabas's hand. And therefore, the Mishnah could reflect that view. Right? What it's going to be, do we learn out Zorik Mimoshit? Do we learn out the Malam Miyuda? But right now, it's not even relevant for us.
Is the Moshit case where the transfer takes place in the Rosh Hashanah, or are they reaching all the way across the Rosh Hashanah?
They're reaching across. Meaning, the way to, at least in the midbar, the way to visualize it is, you have two levim standing on two wagons, and they're handing boards one to the other across the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the middle.
Right, but actual transfer from hand to hand in the middle in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or is it at one end in the Rosh Hashanah Yachim?
Oh, meaning, does Levi on wagon 2 grab it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Oh, we're going to see that. We're going to see. Good. We're not going to see it today. But when we get to that parak, the Gemara is going to definitely discuss that. Right? Is there a Hanocha Biyad HaLevi in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then the Levi brings it into his wagon? Or does the board just simply stretch across onto the other wagon, and that's where the Levi receives it? We're going to see that.
That brings in the whole question of Makandal
and Abdal. Right, Enachinami. Correct. Although the truth is, the question will still somewhat be the same because the Levi is still receiving it in his hand.
Which is the chashav makom dalit.
Correct. So, but where he's receiving it is absolutely going to go ahead and color this discussion as well. All right. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, but 1 second. So the Sabra Rabbi Akiva klut k'mishu nukadamio. The Dilma hanochuhu delo bay ha akira baya. So now the Gemara makes a very interesting. Maybe the Gemara makes an interesting observation. The Gemara says, okay. So now what we've established is that Rabbi Akiva does not require makom dalit al dalit, but maybe it's not for everything. Meaning, maybe. Let me explain to you just one word about this outside. As much as we say Akira and Hanocha in the same breath, one of the things that's going to come out is that there's clear that in certain respects, the Akira is more important than the Hanocha. We'll see that there are certain times in which we will need certain criteria for Akira, but not necessarily need it for Hanocha. So the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe, the Dilma Hanocha hu delo bayo. Maybe Rabbi Akiva doesn't need a makom dalet al dalet for a hanocha, aval akira baya. But for the akira, he does need a makom dalet al dalet. Take a look at Rashi. The dilma hanocha delo baya midiktani Rabbi Akiva mechayiv aval akira boi me al gabi makom dalet. Now both say, what's the Hava meaning to say this? Listen to this. And Michael, you mentioned this before. Mishum hotsa, midelokatani Rabbi Akiva mechayiv shtayim. Achas mishum hotsa v'achas mishum achnasa. So here's the interesting part. Let's go back for a second. And Rabbi Akiva's very excited. In Rabbi Akiva's case, where you're standing in Rosh HaYachid, and you throw an object from Rosh HaYachid through Rosh HaRabim into Rosh HaYachid. So what is Rabbi Akiva paskin? You chayiv echatos for otsa. But what should you really be chayiv? You should be chayiv two chatos. Why? Because if you really hold kluta kamishun chadamya, then when I throw the rabbi, I'm standing in Rosh HaYachid, I throw it through Rosh HaRabim into Rosh HaYachid. So what is really happening, right? What should happen according to Rabbi Akiva? Chuta Kamishuncha says, what happened when that rock came into Rosh Sayachit? Rabim, excuse me. It stopped. And then what happened? It lifted up again and went out. But Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that. Instead, what does Rabbi Akiva hold? That you're only chayiv once. So maybe Rabbi Akiva only holds Chuta Kamishuncha Damya, which for our purposes means that you don't need a makom dalet al dalet. That's for the Hanocha. But for the Akira, you do need a makom dalet al dalet, which is why in Rabbi Akiva's case, I'm only going to be chayiv one chatos, because I did an akira in my Rosh HaYachid, but there wasn't a second akira in the Rosh HaRabim to make me liable a second chatos.
Usually it's one, if you're doing one action, it's one chatos regardless of, isn't that the general rule?
The answer is yes, except if you think about Rabbi Akiva's svara, Rabbi Akiva's whole svara is that you're saying the object came to rest in Rosh HaRabim. So all the Gemara is saying is, it's hard.
But generally,
yeah,
right?
Correct. One chatas per customer. One chatas per action. Although yes and no. Like for example, if a person goes ahead and let's say the Gemara discusses that let's say a person ate, he ate chazer in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. Right. It's a rough day. Right? So you can have a situation where one act can go ahead and generate multiple liabilities. Because we'll see it in Shabbos. We'll see it in Shabbos where if I go ahead and let's say I burn down your field on Shabbos. So I've done an act of Havara and an act of Hezek. Right? So there's a whole discussion there in general. Am I chayiv to pay you and also be executed or not? So it's not...
It's not a
malacha.
He's saying
malacha. Right. You're right. One maisek can only generate a malacha, right? Ena chinami. Yeah. Okay. What's wrong?
He said pay first. He said not with the check.
Yeah, pay first. Cash or money order.
All right. Kilim
Midrabim. So that's going to be that discussion there. Kilim Midrabim. So the shaila is if it's only misa b'dei adam or it's misa b'dei shamayim. Also, we'll see. We're going to be in Shabbos Rav. We'll say, don't worry. We're going to have Mirza Shem see it all. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. So maybe the Gemara is suggesting, maybe Rabbi Akiva only is lenient when it comes to the Hanocha. But for the Akira, he requires the Makom Dalet al Dalet, to which the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Yosef. So the interesting part with that is, that would run into certain problems for our Mishnah as well. Because remember again, what was the second case in the Mishnah? The second case in the Mishnah is where the Ani extends his hand inwards, right? And what? Shanatal Misoch Balabayis. Now remember, in that case, what's happening? the Akira is not happening on Amakom Dalet al Dalet, and yet what? The Mishnah says Yechayiv. So we've kind of blown a hole in the Rabbi Akiva possibility, because now we're saying maybe Rabbi Akiva, at least if he doesn't require Dalet al Dalet for Anacha, he may require it for Akira, to which the Gemara says, you're right. So therefore, Ela Amar Rabbi Yosef Hamani Rebbe Hi. The Mishnah must reflect the view of Rebbe. So the Gemara says, hey Rebbe, which Rebbe is this? Ilema Ha, Ha Rebbe, if you want to say this Rebbe, this Sanya, Zorak, finishing up, Zorach v'nach agabe ziz kolshu. If a person goes ahead and throws an object and it rests on a ziz. Ziz is a protrusion. So take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Zorach mirushus ayave mitchilas dalit v'sof dalit v'nach agabe ziz. So what happens? If you're standing in a shesarabim and you throw an object and the object travels four amos and rests on this protrusion. So v'nach agabe ziz kolshu. Now remember, Rabbi Osai, this ziz is even of a very small dimension. Rebbe mechayiv, the chacham and potrim. Rebbe says you're chayiv, the chacham say you're potter. So Rabbi Osai, the fact that Rebbe says you're chayiv, why? Alma, Rashi says, the low boy hanach al makom dalet. What do you see from here? That you don't need an item to come to rest on a makom dalet al dalet. Right? That even if hanacha takes place in a very small... Okay. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Hasam ki debagin lemimar lekamon ki da'abaye. The Amr Abaye, so the Gemara says, but we're going to clarify that case later on, like Abaye says, because Abaye says, Hacha, be'ilan ha'omid b'rshas ha'yachid, v'nofet notel sarabim, v'zorak v'nach anofo. So Abaye is going to define that. What's that case, Rabbi Osai? That's talking about a case, the ziz that they're talking about is actually a tree branch. And what's the case? The case is where you have a tree that's standing in Rosh Hashayachid, the branch extends into the Rosh Hashayachid, v'zarak v'nach anofo, and you throw the object and it rests on the branch. The Rebbe savar amrinon shedai nofo basar ikaro. So Rebbe holds that you don't look at the branch as an independent branch, or what do you look at the branch as? You look at the branch as an extension of the trunk. The Rabbo say the trunk has the dimensions of dalet al dalet. Therefore, the branch is an extension of the trunk, and therefore the branch is also considered to be what? Amakom dalet al dalet. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yechayiv, Rabbanon Savri, lo arminan shdei nofo basar ikaro. And the Rabbanon on the other hand say no, that we don't look at the branch as an extension of the trunk, rather the branch is its own independent entity. And therefore, again, according to the Rabbanon, it is considered as if the item did not come to rest on amakom dalet al dalet. So therefore, it can't be Rabbi. Eloho Rabbi. Rather, it must be this other Rabbi. This Sanya. Zorak merush sarabim merush saram merush siyach be'emtsam. If a person threw an item from one rush saram to another rush saram and rush siyach is in the middle, Rebbe mechayev v'chachamim potrim. Rebbe says yechayev v'chacham say your potter. Okay, so Rabbi Osai said that would seem to work well for us. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel mechayev hayor Rebbe shnayim, achos mishum hotza v'achos mishum hachnosa. And we'll say, now we finally found it. And what does Rebbe hold? Rebbe actually holds that Shechayiv two chatos. Why? One because of Hotzah, one because of Hachnasa. Now remember, Hotzah refers to taking an item from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and Hachnasa refers to what? An item from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. So Rebbe literally holds that what? Not only kluta kamishuncha, you know, in a figurative sense, but in a literal sense, that when an item passes through another rishus, it's as if what? It came to rest, and I picked it back up. So therefore, when the item goes through, so there's one act, there's one liability that's incurred from rishus hayochid to rishus harabim, and another one from rishus harabim to rishus hayochid, which clearly says that what? That Rebbe holds that you don't need a makom dalet al dalet for akira or hanacha. Or I should say, for Hanacha or Akira. So the Gemara says, Alma lo boy Akira, velo Hanacha amakom dalet al dalet. So you see from here that according to Rebbe, you don't need Akira or Hanacha on amakom dalet al dalet. Alright, so you don't need amakom dalet al dalet for Akira Hanacha. We'll stop over here. We're not finished with Rebbe, right? The Gemara is going to go ahead and kind of try to throw out Rebbe, but we'll stop over here for today. I'm not, Ari's gonna email out what the schedule is for young